Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This is Sand Talk, the beach soccer podcast. With thanks to Beach Soccer Worldwide's partners, Puma, Iconic, Real Fever, United Nations Alliance for Civilizations, and Genius. Thank you all for believing in the sport.
Welcome to Sand Talk, the beach soccer podcast. I'm Mark Pendergast, and fresh for 2023, just a bit of a change in format for us. We're going to have a guest host here each month. More about that in a second, but to round up the big news stories in beach soccer in the last couple of weeks, the America's Winners' Cup that gets underway in El Salvador, we'll have a full report on that in the next beach soccer podcast, but it's the first time we've had a Club America's tournament featuring teams from as far away as Canada to Brazil. FIFA have launched their beach soccer training section on the website, and the club rankings are being updated. And the top three in the men's competition see Braga top, Real Munster rising to number two, and Cristal in third position. For the women's, it's Teresa number one, Lady Grenbach, similar to Real Munster, a huge riser in the rankings, and San Javier of Spain in third position. We'll discuss the reasons why Real Munster and Lady Grenbach have risen so high in the rankings so quickly. But first up, to introduce our co-host for this month, he's been playing beach soccer for 18 years now. He's played all across Europe and in many an international tournament for England. And his finest moment came last November in Neom. Overall, I shouted his name seven times as he was joint top scorer in the tournament. And when people are scoring that many, you have to get creative about how you describe them. What time is it? Well, it's Mitch Daytime. How are you, Mitch?
I'm good, thank you, mate. Thank you for having me.
No problem. Now, I'm going to say to you, life begins at 40, because those seven goals you scored in Neom, joint top scorer as a 40-year-old, it gives us all hope, me especially, as I'm well into my 40s now.
Yeah. Yeah, obviously proud of that achievement.
It's one of those things that I noticed. I was there with you and I was speaking to you during the daytimes before you were playing. This is the number one thing in sport. It's all about confidence. You scored a couple of good ones to start with. And I could just see that smile getting bigger and bigger when the camera went on to you and scored. You just had so much belief in that tournament, didn't you?
Yeah, you're right. It is. It's a thing, isn't it, with sport especially. But as soon as, you know, on day one, the goal went in against Paraguay early, I scored a bicycle kick quite early on in the game against Paraguay. And as soon as you've got one in, you're just lifted. And then, you know, it's just trusting. I'm fortunate enough to have so much experience as well. It's kind of just trusting what I've learned and what I know. And it comes from playing alongside, you know, unbelievable players for so many times. Like the amount of time I spent playing with Dejan Stankovic when I played in Switzerland for quite a few seasons, watching him just score loads of goals constantly, I learned so much that it makes it so much easier in my mind. Once my confidence is up and I'm in the right position, I just know that, you know, get your shots off, you're going to score. If you don't shoot, you don't score. So firing them off and then trusting your ability and trusting the work you've done, really. And yeah, confidence was flying. And I just knew every time I had the ball, I thought there's a good chance we're going to do something here, which is a great place to be, because you don't always feel like that.
Well, that's the key, isn't it? Once it went in, that first overhead kick, I could just see you were lifted. And then you'll try things, won't you? Probably you'd be more reticent if you hadn't scored that first goal, and then the entire tournament changes, the dynamic of your performance changes.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially where it was a bicycle kick as well, because when you flick the ball up under some pressure from a top defender, if that flick's not perfect, or you end up sort of scuffing it or having to take a few touches and you don't get your bike off, next time the ball comes in, I might not try to flick it and get a bike off. Or, you know, so the fact that it all, you know, I mean, again, it comes down to repetition and trusting. But yeah, exactly that. It's just, as soon as that first one went in and we were in that game as well, like, it really kept us in the running. Yeah, it was like, right, let's go. I'm fit. Doesn't matter. My age doesn't matter. I can do this still. Let's go.
Life begins at 40, as I said. For England beach soccer, it seems to be, there's a stereotype, isn't it, of the Englishman by the beach. that he's not particularly fit, likes to lie down by the beach. You've got to be horizontal if there's some sand involved. But this England team that you're involved with, I have never seen a fitter bunch of Englishmen in the same room. It's unbelievable. That is a real strength of yours, isn't it?
You know, I'm happy to say this because of the hard work that we've put in, but I'm not surprised that you've noticed, just because it's not always been the case throughout the squad. You know, through the years, love all of my ex-teammates to bits, but they've not all been absolute athletes, as you can imagine. You know, it's just the way it is and the way sport can be. But right now, it's a really big thing, and it's always been something that's really important to me, is if you're going to play beach soccer and, you know, represent your country and play at the highest level you can possibly play, wherever your talent takes you, you've got to have more than just talent. And, you know, as you could see, like James Temple, 38 years old, two kids, shredded out of, you know, the most ripped I've ever seen him. He's just getting in better and better health. Aaron doesn't stop. Aaron Clark can play every minute of every game at a high level. Scott Lawson, you know, and then the rest of the boys are there as well. Tommy Jackson's made some massive physical changes over the last few years. It's kind of like when you've created that culture of the people who are doing the right things and having the successes are the ones that are really taking care of themselves as well. And then the results are showing, as in you're performing better, you're scoring more goals, you're winning more games, you're getting invitations to go and play for different clubs, then you're doing the right things. And when the attitude around the entire group is correct, then, you know, a rising tide lifts all ships, as they say. And that's what's going on with this current squad, really is. You know, everyone's really pushing each other.
I'm going to write that down. A rising tide lifts all ships. I think you mentioned Tommy Jackson, and it says something when your goalkeeper is a supreme athlete. So I think that shows the whole success of the fitness regime amongst the England team. And it's just that more practice and more tournaments that you need now, isn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly it. And, you know, TJ, Tommy, will be the first to admit, four years ago when he first started, he didn't take his training and his nutrition and things as seriously. And sometimes that was the culture. And it's not just with the England national team. I think it was probably a thing in clubs, and not even just in England, in other clubs and around the world at the Group B kind of level. You didn't always kind of need to, or you could get away with it because there's not that many people playing beach soccer. Whereas now, with everyone pushing and you're around the right people more often, like it just lifts everyone. And it just shows, this isn't about past or present or anything like that. It's just, I think it's a byproduct of spending the right amount of time around the right people on the right mission together and the right kind of team environment. And, you know, here we go. That's kind of how it's panning out. It's just I think a natural thing. You know what it's like when you spend your time around positive people who are doing things, you feel a bit more positive. Whereas if you're around some others, and this has got nothing to do, again, like I say, with even our past and present England teams or anything like that, but it stands out if someone's a negative person, someone that you know they need to be around more positive people to change how they're thinking. And I think in team sports there's probably not a lot that's more important than that.
Yeah, well, you're the sum of the five people that are closest to you, so perfect for beach soccer.
Yeah, that's it. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
In terms of, obviously, the men's team, you've started, I think things are clicking into place for you, but the women's team have been absolutely fantastic. And it is brilliant news that once again, an England team qualifies for the tournament, but they don't represent as England, they represent as Great Britain. Mm-hmm. Because I know when I spoke to them in Neon, they were a little bit worried that maybe they wouldn't get the go-ahead from the British Olympic Committee, but they've got that go-ahead. And I always thought they would, because they won medals last time, and there's nothing the Olympic Committee like better than medals. Do you think they could go one step further this time?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I spoke to Steve Black last night, actually. I'm flirting with him just to see if I can get a little invite. If they need someone to come and clean their boots or something like that, then I'll be there.
Mitch, you're going down the wrong avenue. Yeah, exactly. That's one thing you definitely don't need in beach soccer, is someone to clean the boots.
No, definitely not.
Or fold the socks. Don't offer to fold the socks either. That's not really needed.
No. I'd be a great water boy. But yeah, like, so proud of what the girls are doing. They're so good. They're such a great team. They're a great unit. They've been brilliant since they started, I think they've been world. There's, you know, quite a few of the girls are world class, you know. And again, it's team environment. They had a brilliant situation way before with Perry was involved, and now Steve's there, and I think it must just create the right balance. And from what I know from talking with the girls and that those bits of time that we've spent around them, you know, that they seem like a great group. Very quickly, a lot of the girls were playing in club teams around the world, around Europe, getting invitations, which ain't a surprise when you're at the very top. And yeah, they got the go-ahead, I believe, and it's all good. They're off to represent Team GB. It is different, but they're still the Lionesses, and I think they've got a great chance of winning it.
Yeah, definitely so. They came so close last time. You mentioned there about Club Beach Soccer. Now let's have a look at those new rankings that have just come out. And I think in the men's event, the big thing is Real Munster. German team, yeah. Germany, not, you know, similar to England, not known for being a really strong international beach soccer team, but their club side are so, so good in the shape of Real Munster. And it just shows, doesn't it? A little bit of investment, a little bit of vision makes all the difference, doesn't it?
It does. It does. I was in Cagliari in the World Winners playing with Bologna, who have climbed to 26 on a side note. So well done, Belly, on that one. Very, very good. But yeah, Real Munster, they've always been around, and they've always had that sort of extra investment. And I know a few of the German boys really well, Anton and Joshua. They're brilliant people. They are very, very good players. You know, they're excellent. So their German players are very good, but like you say, maybe they're not recognised as such world class. But then Cagliari, you know, they had B and Leo Martins, Oba from Japan, and their goalkeeper as well, I believe, was Spanish. And just watching them was different level. Especially with Leo and B, the way they played with the keeper, and obviously Oba, we had to deal with him in the playing for Japan up top. He's an amazing player. But the way Leo and B Martins play, the way they move, was no surprise to me that they won. And that's it. If you've got the right vision, and they've obviously, amongst the management and the main players, they've got that drive to become the best. I know Real Munster have had Brazilian players come and play, and different top world-class players come and join them. But they've always got their cluster of the German lads that are part of it as well. I think that's so important as well amongst club beach soccer, is you've got your unit. It's always been a big thing with all the clubs I've been lucky enough to play for. And then for me, most often is being the foreigner that comes in. You know, you've got to be the right fit. You've got to respect the boys that are there training week in and week out when you're not there. You know, and they probably couldn't have selected a better variety to come and just make sure that they won that. And they were unbelievable. It's the best beach soccer I've seen in a long time, especially on individual performances. The twins, Leo and B, it was frightening to watch. It was good. It was like a boost. It was like, I'm 40, I've been around a long time. But then watching the way they're playing, it's like, right, just come home, turn yourself into a bit more of a machine and move like they do. And then, you know, we won't be staying in Group B long if we all start to raise our level to what we're capable of. So, you know, yeah.
Because you're looking at Braga, our first in the rankings in the men's competition. Yeah. Again, there seems to be a thread here. If it begins with M and ends in Artins, you're going to be pretty good, aren't you? I think that the twins are, they've been so good for so long. But not the problem, but I think one thing is, because they are twins, they don't get enough credit, because it's kind of split 50-50 between them, isn't it? It's not, it doesn't make them stand out alone. If you had two Leo Messis, then it would slightly dilute the Leo Messi effect. Oh, and that happens with them, I think, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And unfairly, although they're obviously very highly respected, and you know, they're two amongst many, whether you'd say many Portuguese, many others, unbelievable players, and full respect to all the top players, but Leo and B in particular, bloody lovely guys as well. You know, really great people, which comes with being able to be a strong part of a team when you're not a permanent part. So for them to go into Real Munster, for example, and I don't know how many times if they've played with Real Munster before, but being the sort of personalities that they are as well, they fit in brilliantly. And with that being the twins, yeah. So like, for example, I was playing in Serie A last year with Bologna, and Leo was at Viareggio. And you just get to see them up. When they're playing separately, they're just as amazing. You know, they read each other on a different level. So when they play together, it's like, it doesn't matter who you are, you won't be able to read or keep up sometimes with what they're about to do, because they know each other so well. And probably you could say that amongst the Braga and Portugal setups, because they're just still telepathic. But yeah, even when they're separate, they're still, you know, it just shows they're world class, basically. Yeah, it's great to watch, great to witness.
And in the female beach rankings, Lady Grembach of Poland, again, it's another one of those things where Poland, not the strongest when it comes to beach soccer, even in the female game as well. But if you get a few good players in your team, you can get that real feel, and people say, I need to play for Lady Grembach, get high in the rankings, it makes all the difference, doesn't it?
Yeah, huge. They had a few of the Brazilian girls when we were out in the World Winners. And again, it's really, it seems like a repetitive theme, but it's probably what makes it obvious is not that I played for Grenbach, because that seems to be a bit of a theme that's coming up as well. But obviously, I didn't play for Lady Grenbach. But my point being is that back beach soccer, incredible people. And so it's very easy for them to build great relationships and bring in the right people because they're good people. And yeah, it's the same thing. They've got this mission and this drive to create, you know, a top level beach soccer team, which they've done continuously for years. There isn't the men's team anymore, but now they're focusing on the Lady Grenbach, and you know it's showing in their results. You know, they're attracting the right players, again the right combination of players. They're Polish players as well, by the way, were very, very strong, a handful of them. So yeah, perfect combination.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm looking at a picture here on the beachsoccer.com website and of Lady Grenbach, and in that picture is Adrielli and Barbara Collodetti. So you're not going to go wrong with those two. They were so good in neon, weren't they?
So good. Yeah, really good to watch. Especially, I was watching them with a bit of a different eye. So when I was in Cagliari at the World Winners, you'd be watching, and I was really supporting them because I love the Grenbach family. But then watching them in neon against England, I really didn't want them to be performing. But yeah, world class. Especially, well, both of them in particular. Adrielle's got so many silky skills, and you know, she can do things that are quite incredible. Barbara's this really calm head that just plays really sensible, excellent beach soccer. She's like, just controls games.
Yeah, I called it a quarterback, actually, when they were playing commentary. She just stood at the back, and the ball came to her, and it was always released to somebody in a calm fashion. Yeah. Looks like she's got so much time on the ball.
Exactly, and it stands out, doesn't it? Like, you know, there's those players where you just think, it seems like they've got so much time.
Yeah.
You know, she never seems to panic. She's always in control, and yeah, you put the show.
Yeah, they were absolutely fantastic, and you can see why these club sides, if they get the right couple of players in, don't always have to be twins, by the way, they can really rise up the rankings. A final thing I want to speak to you about is the new beach soccer training centre, which is open now on FIFA. Angelo Strinzi giving us an insight into how he coaches now, and I think this is such a good resource, especially for, I'm going to say grassroots. There's no grass, like there's no boots, Mitch, in beach soccer, but it's something that it's great that you can go on, have a look, pick up a couple of drills, maybe go out and coach a junior club side.
Yeah, brilliant. It's so important for the sport. And, you know, I was going to touch on it, like third in the team rankings, European champions, like, and I've been fortunate enough to train with Switzerland a lot from my time over there. Like Angelo, he is Mr. Beach Soccer to me, to a lot of people, works incredibly hard. And you can see from obviously what Crystal are doing, but also from what Switzerland have done for forever since I started 18 years ago, they've been world class, and they're a landlocked country. So something's being done very well over there. And it was always quite obvious that Angelo is very much at the head of that. He's a very driven, passionate winner, which shows in the way they perform, in the way the team train, and what he expects from the guys. So then for him to take that and build that relationship and take his expertise into the FIFA side and to create that, it's going to help the sport do so much, because obviously then with the network and you've got people like Ramiro. Aaron went over to do a lot of the filming. Aaron Clark went over, and he just couldn't speak highly enough of the facilities and, you know, the fact that now there's this training program being created, then that's going to help the sport play at a whole new level. Then, you know, it can only be a very, very good thing.
Yeah, it's a brilliant thing because it brings convenience to the sport. So especially if you're a part-time coach, you've got a full-time job, you get in after work, you need some ideas for drills or things like that, you can go on the resource and then go and do a great session for your team a little bit later on. So yeah, it's a real step forward for beach soccer.
Massive, yeah, and that's it, exactly. Yeah. I mean, as we know, beach soccer is very much, apart from top few percent, is a very much part-time sort of led sport. In many respects, especially like at club level. So to be able to just tap into that online resource, get the top drills from the very best coaches and the very best players that have ever played the sport, you know, you can't really go wrong. So it's great.
Well, Mitch, it's been brilliant having you as co-host today. Thank you so much for that. And we found out that life begins at 40 and you want to polish the boots of beach soccer players.
Yes. Well, I just want to go to Bali.
Thank you to Mitch for being our co-host this month. And if you want all your beach soccer information and results, then just go to the website beachsoccer.com and search on the socials for Beach Soccer Worldwide. See you next time.
Sports Social Podcast Network.